open our Bibles tonight, we do so to the book of Joshua and the first chapter, Joshua chapter 1 tonight. Tonight marks 1 week to the day that our family will depart from Newfoundland. This time next week, Amy, along with Emma and the two boys, will be in Concord, New Hampshire. Mac and Ben and myself will be getting ready to make it almost through the island and pick up our ferry and take the night passage and then begin our next 2 days to travel down to Maine. As a church, in 1 week, you're going to enter into another new phase of ministry life. There will be unknowns, and sometimes the unknowns bring about a spirit of fear. But tonight I want to talk about the opposite of fear. I want to talk about the need of courage. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this of courage: whatever you do, you need courage. Whatever course you decide upon, there is always someone to tell you that you are wrong. There are always difficulties arising to tempt you to believe your critics are right. To map out a course of action and follow it to an end requires some of the same courage that a soldier needs. Peace has its victories, but it takes brave men and women to win them. All of us need, within the spiritual life, the courage to do what God wants us to do. God has called us to a specific task, and it's things that He desires. And we need to be able to claim victory through courage. That's what I want to speak to you tonight about, claiming victory through courage. Would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer, and then we'll consider some thoughts together tonight. Father, we thank you for this opportunity tonight to be able to come and look into your word. I thank you for the truths that this passage brings forth to us. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help us, each and every one, as we know within 1 week we'll be going our separate ways. Lord, you have guided and directed. And Lord, in a week, our paths will part, at least for a time. Lord, we realize that with each calling that you have placed, you give that which is necessary and the help needed to go forth for your honor, for your glory. You desire that your people live in victory. And Lord, I pray that we would claim that victory through the courage that we find given in your word. Lord, I pray that we would never be stifled by fear, but Lord, instead that we would have the courage to conquer for Jesus' sake, for we are more than conquerors through Him that's loved us. So, Father, we ask and pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us are familiar with the story of Joshua. As a young man, he was chosen to be one of the 12 spies to enter into the land that God had promised and to scout out and see if it be a good land. He, along with those 12 spies, found that it was a place flowing with milk and honey. But there were some problems in the land, primarily that of giants. The 10 began to look around and see the giants, and they began to see the problems, and they begin to fear. So they counseled the people of God not to enter into the land, because there are giants in the land, and surely we will die. But God had brought them right to the brink of the promised land. He had delivered them from the most powerful nation upon the face of the earth, Egypt, when they came to the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea, allowed them to pass through, and there he defeated their enemy. But now as they stand at the brink of the promised land, they're afraid to enter in. And so the 10 spies say no. Joshua and Caleb, however, told the people to be of great courage and to follow the Lord. But that generation refused. By fear, they refused to do that which God wanted them to do. And because of that fear and that refusal, God allowed them to simply wander in the wilderness and that generation to die. there would be really not much fruit for them. They would, for those 40 years, wander until each one, 20 years of age and older, passed away. In that time of the wilderness wanderings, Joshua served as Moses' minister. And in that, he had seen the Lord work in many wonderful ways. He had seen the mighty power of God. He had gone with Moses partway up the mountain, and he saw the Lord descend, and he saw the smoke from the mountain. He saw Moses as he first came down with his face shining. He saw the wonderful work of God. There was another event in that time in which they went, and there they went to the temple. And as Moses went back, Joshua wanted to linger behind. He had seen the glory and the wonders, the beauty of the Lord. But as you come to the beginning of Joshua chapter 1, it simply states, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." Joshua now replaces Moses, the great leader of Israel, and he is given the task not to mourn, but to arise, do the work, go over into the land that I have promised. Moses was gone. Their leader had died. Interesting to note that when Moses died, no one knew it. No one knew where Moses was buried, for God buried him. And the way they find out is by God coming to Joshua and saying, "Your leader is gone. Now arise and do the work I've called you to." Joshua is left with great responsibility, and no doubt that could bring about fear. But what God says to Joshua is, it's not time for you to be afraid. It's not time for you to mourn. It's time for you to claim the victory that I've given to you. Now, as we study through the scripture, it's clear that God desires that we that live godly, or we who are godly, would live in victory before Him. Even with all the challenges that are before us, the Bible promises us that we can live not defeated, not discouraged, not depleted. We can live victoriously. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 reminds us, God has given to all of us all that we need for life and for godliness. Everything that you need to be a victor instead of a victim is found in the Word of God. We have many people today who want to walk around and claim that they're always the victim, but God says you're not a victim, you're a victor. You can live victoriously, and you claim that victory through courage to follow God. 1 Corinthians 15:57, we're told that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have been given the victory. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ tonight, if you are saved, you have been given complete victory through Jesus Christ. That must now be claimed through courage. Sadly, though, many believers live in defeat. They live in despair. What's missing then? What's causing them to miss out on the spiritual blessings that have been promised by God? The answer is, I think too often, fear. God, at the very outset of Joshua's ministry and this change for the nation of Israel, and folks, this was their first really big change. Moses had been their leader. He had been their rock. Moses is gone. Joshua now is told, arise, go forward, cross the Jordan, and claim the land. Three times God comes to Joshua and says, be strong and of a good courage. God wants us to be strong, to be courageous. As Joshua prepares to take the nation of Israel into the promised land, that, by the way, being a picture for the Christian of spiritual rest and peace, Hebrews 3 and 4 tells us. Joshua, as he prepares, now must understand that there is courage that comes to him to lead the people. Who was Joshua? He was just Moses' minister. Now he's to lead this great nation? God said, arise and take this, my people, and conquer the land. Where does the courage to arise and do God's work come? Look at the passage with me tonight. Look at verse 3 down through verse 6. Joshua is told to arise, and then he says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even under the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Here's the first time. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. First thing I want you to note with me tonight is simply this: courage rests in the promises of God's word. Where does the courage to arise and follow God come from? It comes from resting in the promises of His Word. Why can we do what God has called us to do? How can we go forward in life as a family? How can you go forward as a church in time of transition? You rest upon the Word of God. You rest in His promises. As I begin to look at my life and I look at my future, and everything is changing for us, everything starts over, that can be a frightening thing. But here's what I can do. I can rest in the promise of God's Word. And I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to hold back. I can simply do what God wants me to do, and so can you. The promises of God's word. Notice the promises that God gives to Joshua. Look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. God promises that he would go before, that he would give Joshua the victory. God is not saying to Joshua, Joshua, you come up with the military strategy, you become the great general, you make sure to win all the battles. God says, Joshua, just come follow me. I've already given you the land. I told Moses it was my people's. You are going to simply lead them. I'm going to give you the victory. There's the promise. Look at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of the life as I was with Moses. Notice what he says. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God says, hey Joshua, I've asked you to lead my people. I will ever be with you perpetually. I will be with you. I will not let you go. I will not forsake you. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God said, I'll give you this land. You will possess it. It's your inheritance. Joshua, I need you to be strong. Joshua, I need you to be courageous. I know Moses is gone, but my work still has to be done. And I've given you my promises. I want you to think about those promises that God gave to Joshua tonight. I want you to apply them to our own lives as believers. Are there any portions of God's word directly written to the believer that speak of those promises? If I ask you the question, that's because the answer is yes. I wouldn't lead you that to say no, sorry. Okay? So the answer obviously is yes. What are they? 1 Corinthians 15:57, we mentioned it earlier. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, to verse 3? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. God promised victory to Joshua, and he said, I've already given you the victory through Christ. Folks, that's a promise you can rest in. You're not defeated. By the way, the Lord Jesus Christ said of the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Now, folks, understand, what is a gate? Offensive or defensive? That's not a hard one. A gate is offensive or defensive? It's defensive. It's designed to keep people out. Who are the gates of hell trying to keep out? The army of God marching to Zion. And folks, we sometimes get this in our mind that Satan and his forces are just advancing in the world and they can't be stopped. That's the wrong view. We are soldiers of Christ and we are to arise, to put our armor on. And we are to be going forward and advancing. And folks, the reality is those who are living for God, those who are following Him, those who are being a good soldier, the gates of hell cannot prevent them from marching on. Because God has said, I will give you the victory. Well, in our day and age, souls just can't be saved. God said, open your eyes and look. The fields are white unto harvest already. The problem is there's few who will labor for me. That's true at home and that's true abroad. That's just not, by the way, a missionary verse. That's a church verse. That's a believer's verse. Open your eyes and begin to see that there are many all around us who need Christ. God has promised us the victory. Hebrews 13, verse 5, consider another promise. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How about Matthew 28:19-20? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen? That's how the verse ends. Doesn't that sound real familiar to verse 5? That God would be perpetually with us? How about Psalm 37:4-5? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God told Joshua that there would be a land that they would possess. God would bring his word to pass. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. We know Proverbs 3:5-6 gives us the promise of God's direction for life. Matthew 6:33 tells us that all the things that we so easily get consumed with can be cared for if we seek first God and His kingdom. He has promised to meet our needs. He has promised to give us the land to possess. Folks, we have the courage to do what God wants us to do because His Word promises us these things that we need. The problem that we have is we lack the courage and the faith to possess them. And so we are in despair. We're despondent. We're cast down. We quit. We stop. We halt. But God says, arise. Go possess the land that I've given. Joshua, be strong and have a good courage. Why? Because God has given us the promises that we need. Folks, your courage to go forward for God rests in your willingness to take God at His word and to trust Him wholly. Have you ever found God to be a liar? Have you ever found His word not to be true? Have you really ever found a reason not to trust Him? If you know Him at all, if you have ever met Him, you know you can trust Him. And the only thing that keeps us from trusting is fear and no faith. God's word is true. We can rest on His promises. But I also want you to notice that courage not only rests in the promises of God's word, but courage reigns in our hearts as we obey God's word. Look at verse 7 and 8. Second time God says to be strong. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua is given the command to arise, to go, to lead God's people. Possess the land. I have promised it to you. Rest in my promise. But then he's told Joshua that courage remains, it reigns in the heart when you obey my word. When we live in obedience to the word of God, I have the courage to do what God's asked me to do. And I don't have to be afraid. There's always going to be a critic. There's always going to be opposition. But I don't have to be afraid of those things. If I'm living in obedience to God and His word, I can have the courage to move on for Him. The way that we can go on in the midst of our spiritual battles and to have the courage and claim the victory is to live obediently to every part of God's word. I want you to notice several things with me about obedience. First of all, note with me the parts of obedience. God says in verse 7, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. The first part of obedience is simply this, it's observation. In order that we can be obedient, we must first observe. How can you obey that which you do not know? And so we have to know the Word of God. We have to observe the truth. That requires that you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. One able to rightly divide the word of truth. It also requires that you search the scripture, as we're told in John 5, verse 39. If you're going to live in obedience to God's law and observe all of it, you better know what it says. So there's the need for us to study, to give attention to the Word of God. But I also want you to note that we are told to turn not from it. Observe to do according to all the law which Moses, thy servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it, not to the right nor to the left. We cannot turn from the Word of God. Joshua had been with Moses when the law was given. He had with his own eyes seen the things that God had promised and now fulfilling. And as the leader of this nation, God says, you cannot turn from my law. Observe it, know it, and follow it. We like to say it this way sometimes. I've said it several times this way. It's one thing to give assent. It's another thing to apply. Oh, I know that's true. That's true. That's good, Pastor. Thank you for that. Amen, amen, amen. And then you walk out the door and it's like fell on deaf ears. Monday comes and God says, let's test what you learned yesterday. And you go, I don't know. See, it's one thing to give assent. It's another thing to apply. It's one thing to say to trust God. And then when God puts a trial there and you go, no, thank you, God. I'm going to do this on my own. See, you can't just observe it. You can't turn from it. And folks, when you obey God's word, there is courage. There is nothing for me to fear. I never lived in fear of my dad coming home from work when I lived in obedience to the rules of the home. When I disobeyed and I turned from it, fear. Every time. I didn't want to see him. I didn't want to talk to him. I was hoping that'd be a night that was in and out real quick. Why? Fear. Why was I afraid? I disobeyed. If I'm obedient to God's word, I have the courage to do what he wants me to do. Notice, verse 8 and end of verse 7 tells us there's prosperity in obedience. You may prosper whithersoever thou goest. If the book of the law doesn't depart out of your mouth, thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success. There is prosperity for those who obey. Folks, God delights to do good things for his children. Do you agree? To whom is he going to do those good things? We call the blessings. Is it not to the obedient ones? What happens to the disobedient ones whom he loves? According to Hebrews 12, he does what? He chastens. Both, by the way, are good for us. My dad's approval and my dad's disapproval were good for my character. My dad's loving hand and my dad's hand of wrath when needed was good for me. And the same is true with God. But God says, if you want to know prosperity, obey my word. It'll give you the courage to do what I need you to do. The final thing that I want you to see is found in verse 9. And that is this. Not only does courage rest in obedience, rest in the promises of God's word, and courage reigns in obedience to the word of God. But thirdly, I want you to note with me, according to verse 9, that courage rejoices in the presence of God. Look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. See, courage to do what God wants you to do is found when we rejoice in the presence of God. Notice the reiteration of the command. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong. Folks, when God repeats himself, it's for emphasis. When God repeats himself, we ought to pay attention. We ought to follow. But how sweet and how precious are these words? God doesn't weary in giving instruction to his children. Joshua, haven't I commanded you? I don't know about you, but my mind kind of thinks this way. We look on the outward appearance and God sees the what? Heart. Joshua, be strong and have a good courage. I've given you my promises. Okay, Lord, but still, whoa. Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Obey my word. Haven't I already told you? I want you to be strong and I want you to be courageous because I'm with you. What a blessing that God reminds us of this wonderful command. Even though we may stumble and even if we fall and we walk in our own way, when we confess our sin, God is faithful, he is just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And with that cleansing and that forgiveness, he restores the joy of our fellowship. But he says, hey Christian, be strong. Be of a good courage. Be strong and very courageous. I'll say it again. Be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Why? He reminds him again of the presence. I have no need to fear because my God is near. If we desire to live in victory, then don't be overtaken by fear and anxiety. Because the Lord, Jehovah, who is your God. Think about that. The very personal God. His name, and he is your Elohim. The word Elohim reminds us of his power and his might and his glory. Is anything too hard for God? It's not. The Lord thy God, he's with you. I don't know about you folks, but there's courage in that truth. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus in this world, below. I could go to South Carolina for college and be away from my family and be called of God to the ministry and follow him. I could go back to Pennsylvania and serve. I could go to Vermont and serve. I can go back to Pennsylvania to serve. I can go all the way up to Newfoundland and serve. And I can now go to Maine and serve. And it doesn't matter. Wherever he leads me, I will go. Because his presence is there. And that's where my courage rests. And if Maine is another stopping point, and then he has another place in this world for me to go, glory to be his name, because I'll go wherever he wants me to go. I don't have to fear. Because there's courage in the truth that my God, the Lord, is my Elohim. That was enough for David to stand before Goliath. That was enough for the apostles to stand before the Sanhedrin and say, you can beat us, you can do whatever you want to us, but we will never stop preaching Christ. That's all they needed. Again, Ron Hamilton wrote the words, how can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. I'll never fear with Jesus. God calls all of us, as he did Joshua, to arise. Go forward and know my blessing. I don't know. It can be frightening. Three times he comes and says, there's no need for you to be afraid. Rest in my promises. Live in obedience. And rejoice in my presence because I'm enough. How will you go forth from here? 1 week from tonight, we'll depart. I can say honestly, as the head of my home, I know what my desire is. As for me and my house, we're going to go serve the Lord. And we're going to go forth with courage, and we're going to conquer for Jesus Christ. How about you? What will you do? Are you going to rest in the Word of God? Are you going to observe it and not depart from it, live in obedience to it? Are you going to rejoice in His presence? Or are you going to trust in the ways of men? Here's what you'll find. Every man will fail you. Trust in one, he's going to let you down. Trust in another, he's going to let you down. So stop trusting men. Don't think that they have the wisdom, because they don't. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. He gives to all men liberally, and he doesn't upbraid us. Ask man for wisdom, sometime they upbraid you. How come you didn't know that? Bless your heart, I didn't. God never does that. You want to trust in your past? No man is fit for the kingdom of God who puts his hand to the plow and looks back. God said we'll be pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no victory in the past. There's just memories. Some are good and some are bad. There's victory in arising and going forward. Joshua, Moses is gone. It's your time to lead. Come, follow me. Don't be afraid. Be strong and be of a good courage. Because I have given you the same promises I gave to Moses. Obey my word and know I will be with you every step of the way. Claim your victory through the courage to follow Christ and live by his word. Let's pray together, please.